All right, I thank you all for that. And now let me gather us together around a reading of God's Word. And today, as I said, in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that word. Your thought for today is, our daily lives put the church on display in the world. Our daily lives put the church on display to the world. That's what it means to walk in a manner. That walk, as we all know, if you've come up through Sunday school, means your daily life. As you progress in your maturity in Christ, that walk that you have with the Lord. So walk in a manner that is worthy. So I say in my title there, walk like you mean it. All of this that we're getting ready to talk about, never forget, is empowered by Christ. It is empowered by Christ. As we have progressed through this book of Ephesians, we've talked about the role of Christ and especially the Holy Spirit in empowering our walk and in our sanctification and our continuing maturing in Christ. And so this now becomes part of the process of how does the church function in the world. What enables the church in the first part of Ephesians, now how does the church go out and use all this enabling power to speak Christ's truth into the world. I want you to see the first thing that Paul says here and have a little context. I, Paul, therefore a prisoner for the Lord. Paul was in prison, probably bound perhaps to a Roman soldier, or he may have been under house arrest in Rome when he wrote this book, when he wrote this letter. Now, I want you to have that in context, and I want to think about that for just a moment with you. What happens to us a lot of times when stress comes into our life, when disaster comes into our life? Paul was going and he was praising God and he was planting churches and he was teaching people and he was overcoming hardship and he was healing people and all of these kinds of wonderful things that he was doing for God. And he even miraculously escaped from time to time from those who wanted to persecute him or harm him in some way. And now he's been bound. A lot of times when we come into that stressful situation, our don't knows, a lot of times when we encounter our disappointments, what can happen is we get angry with God. What can happen is we get depressed. What can happen is we lose the fervor that we have of our Christian walk, and we begin to withdraw within ourselves and become, to a certain extent, an ingrown Christian, which means we're only primarily concerned with ourselves. And a woe is me kind of cloud can come over the top of us. But here is Paul saying, I am a prisoner for the Lord. I have been taken prisoner because I was serving God. What are some of the things that come into our minds when that disaster happens? Why did I have to go through this? Wasn't I serving you? Wasn't I attending church? And we'll have all of this list of things that we've done and accomplished. And we hold it up to God in our minds and in our hearts. Like, why does this have to happen to me? Look at all of this stuff that I do. So Paul here is showing us that he took his Christian faith seriously. Last week we talked about God takes the church seriously. What we do here, God sees as being serious to him because it is a direct reflection on his power that he is proclaiming, as Scripture says, to the angelic beings, both good and evil. It is God's proclamation to the world that he is powerful enough to overcome the separation that has come into the world that sin has brought and bring unity and harmony, and the church is a reflection of that. So Paul here is seeing his Christian walk is serious, and he says, I am a prisoner for the Lord, is under house arrest, He remains true to his walk. And how can we walk in a manner similar to Paul? It goes back to a reflection on the parable that Jesus told about the sower and the seeds, for one example. If you remember, those seeds went out and there was a hard path that the seeds fell on. That soil was very hard. That seed was just laying there for the birds to come and take it off. Then there was soil that the seeds fell upon that was shallow, it was rocky, it wasn't a lot of depth to it. And that's what we're talking about in this particular case. If our seeds of faith are not given the depth of soil that they need to take root so that they can be called upon in times of stress and strain, then we will not be able to see the call of God in our life as clearly, and it'll become clouded by all of the stuff that is happening to me. And again, we get into that forest, and all of that me stuff is right there in front of me like some big tree, and I can't see on the other side of it. And me begins to cloud the God that we should be able to reflect. Because it is our personal walk with God that reflects upon the corporate walk of the church. It is our personal walk with God that reflects upon the corporate walk of the church. Each one of us, as we go out, and each one of us who are known in our communities as being children of God, as Christians that attend Union Church, some of you may be officers, some of you may have other positions that are very much needed and supplied here by God's grace. And we go out into the community, how we walk, how we treat people, how we speak, how we love, how we interact with people is a reflection upon the Church of Christ. Our personal walks is a direct reflection of the corporate walk of the church. And God sees the corporate walk of the church, His worldwide church, His universal church, as important to Him, because it is a reflection upon His power and His nature to bring unity to enemies. I also want to dwell on this where He says, walk in a manner worthy of your calling. What is our calling? Back in chapter 2, He says our calling is the salvation in Christ Jesus. How do we walk in a manner that is worthy of what Christ has done? What this section of Ephesians is encouraging us is to walk and in a way that we reflect the immensity of the sacrifice. How do we live our lives in a way that reflects the immensity of the sacrifice that was given to us in Christ? I know I use this illustration a lot. I'll share it in Sunday school this morning. There's certain illustrations that I see in life and I said, that's it. That's right there. That's it. And I know I use it a lot. Okay, but I'm going to use it again on you today. If I find a better one, I'll start using that. And in this movie that I share with you, Saving Private Ryan, you know, I'm not recommending this. It's a tough movie. But I've watched it, and I especially watched the end scene of it. Ryan is being saved by Captain Miller and his group. Ryan has to be returned to his mom because he's lost all of his brothers in the war, and the army's doing this as a gesture that this woman will not have lost all of her sons. And so Miller leads his band. They find Ryan. There's a final battle. Miller's mortally wounded. He's sitting by a Jeep, bleeding, his lifeblood bleeding out. And Ryan comes over there and talking to him. And Miller grabs him and brings him close. And he says, earn this. Earn it. Then there's a scene at the end of the movie where a mature Ryan, an older Ryan, who's lived his life, and he's got his family there, and his children are there with him. He's visiting the cemetery where Miller's grave is, and he's standing before the cross that represents Captain. See, well, this is so good. There's just so much imagery there. He's standing in front of the cross that represents his physical Savior. And he's overcome with emotion because he's remembering Miller's words to earn this.
And he gets his wife and he brings her close and he says, tell me that I've been a good man. Tell me that I've been a good man. Because he recognized the immensity of the sacrifice. Now, folks, I can't find a better illustration of what this is talking about than that. I know you hear that illustration a lot. I just can't find a better one. That's graphic of what Paul is talking about here. Walk in a manner worthy of your call. What is your call? It's salvation through Christ. How do we walk in a manner worthy of that? You think of the immensity of what Christ has given to us in giving us salvation and giving us that opportunity for God and ourselves to be brought together again in harmony and unity. Walk in a manner worthy of your calling. Wow. Just wow. How do we do that? How do we live our life in a way that reflects that kind of, even like I said, Ryan was wanted somebody to assure him, has my life lived up to this sacrifice? Has my life lived up to this sacrifice? Tell me it has. Because I want to honor what this man gave for me. And that's what Paul's talking about here. To live our life in a way that honors what Christ has given me. That's some big stuff there. So how do we live a life worthy of Christ's sacrifice? He gives some principles here. How does this life look? With all humility. Humility is being aware of who we are before Christ. Humility is being aware of who we are before Christ. That is recognizing that we are a sinner in need of salvation. Recognizing that without Christ we have no hope. Recognizing that without Christ we lack the strength to walk this walk that we're being called to. And it's also humility to surrender to the leadership in obedience of what Christ is calling us to do. When Christ is baptized, the Spirit of God came, this is my son, listen to him. And so as Rowdy was being directed across the front this morning, that's what Jesus is doing for us. The Father directing his child. Calling and speaking and pointing and showing. And if Rowdy had not surrendered to that advice, he would have staggered off the course. Why? Because sin blinds us. Just like Rowdy had those glasses on. And I must have did a really good job because even he couldn't find a window in it. But sin blinds us just like that. And if we are not surrendered to the call of Christ, to the word of Christ as being delivered to our ears by that Spirit, just like Kent was directing him, then we will not end up where we are supposed to be. So humility. Surrendering to the call of Christ, understanding who we are before Him. Gentleness. Gentleness comes from humility, and it's showing the same grace to others that we have been shown by God. We understand our plight, we understand our helplessness before God to such an extent that it affects our thoughts towards others. Humbleness and gentleness are together and they form an awareness of the kind of grace that we are to give others because it has been extended to me. The same forgiveness that was extended to me, I want to extend that to others. Why? Because we're all in this together. We're all sinners in the sight of God. We're all in need of His salvation. We're all in need of His strength. We're all in need of His purifying. We're all in need of everything that He can give to us so that our walk can reflect the immensity of the sacrifice that was given for us. It goes back to that parable that Jesus told about that ungrateful servant who owned beaucoup money, more money than you could ever imagine. And he goes to the king and he says, forgive me, I'm sorry, I just can't pay. And the king has grace upon him and has mercy upon him and says, you don't have to pay me anything. And Jesus said he runs back out into the street happy, and he sees somebody that owes him a little bit of money. And he goes to that guy and he says, pay me back. And he says, I can't pay you back. Extend grace to me. And the guy has him thrown in prison. That kind of attitude within the body of Christ brings disharmony. It brings disunity. It brings separation. It is not a reflection of what God wants to show, wants the church to show. The church wants to show that God has power to bring rivals together, to bring enemies together, to overcome the separation that sin caused, and to bring them together, and to proclaim to the world God's power to do that. And when we are separated as a body, when we are separated as individuals, when we don't show grace to others the way that grace has been shown to us, then that is a poor reflection on God. And the church is not doing what God wants it to do. It is not proclaiming to the world the power of God to bring rivals together. Patiently bearing with another in love. Living life with a forgiving nature. Holding back when attacked. Now, I'm not talking about a physical attack here, folks. Talking about a verbal attack. People talk about you. Why is this an important characteristic for the church? Because it reflects the manner that Jesus walked in. It reflects the manner that Jesus walked in. Living life with a forgiving nature. Holding back when attacks. When you live life in anger and a vengeful spirit, you're going to bring a sad life upon yourself, because you're always angry. You're always wanting to get back. You're always wanting to strike back at somebody. And that kind of spirit does not reflect what God wants us to reflect. That kind of spirit does not unite us in character with Christ. It shows sin. It shows the power of the flesh, because that's what the flesh wants to do. The flesh wants to defend itself. If you ever get in an argument with somebody and it gets heated, the best thing to do is just get quiet, go your separate ways and let things calm down, because there is nothing constructive that will happen when two people are in a heated argument. Nothing. There's a lot of destruction that will happen, but nothing constructive that will happen when two people are in a heated argument. Because each one of those participants will want to defend his or her honor, his or her point of view, and they will die trying, because that's who we are. And that is not what God has called the church to be. God has called the church to be gentle in nature, that we hold back. It's part of the fruit of self-control, the fruit of the Spirit of self-control. How does this happen? It happens when the power of the Spirit comes upon us. It happens as that Spirit matures us, as that Spirit brings us closer and closer to Christ. Just like, again, Rowdy walking across the front of the church, he could hear his father. The farther we are from Christ, the less clearly we can hear what he has for us. The less able we respond to those kinds of encouragements from the Spirit and directions from the Spirit, the farther away we are from Christ. But the closer we are to Christ, the more we see how much we need Him. The more we see how much we need Him. Because now we can see Him clearly. He's not some faint, distant, foggy figure. He's there plain. And to do that, we need to get closer to Him. And so we can hear His word plainly. So that we can be empowered and directed in a way that the church shows the power of God. And in the last part of this section of Scripture, it says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We know what that word eager means, you know, wanting to do something very much. We desire very much for the church to be the image of God. Had a point of consideration this morning in Sunday school. How important is it to you? How important is it to you? Every day we're faced with those decisions. We do the things that are most important to us, whether it's by fear or love or desire, we do the things that are most important to us. How? Excuse me. How important is church? How important is relationship with Christ? How important is it to us that we hear Him plainly, that we reflect the glory of God into the world, that it's His desire for the church to be that reflection of His image? How important is it? And that's a question that all of us must answer in our own hearts, in our own lives. How important is it? What priority do we place on getting closer to God? Is getting closer to God something that we only do whenever there's stress in our life, whenever there's some kind of problem or struggle? As I've shared with you before, listen, reflect upon your prayers when you have an earnest need, and reflect upon your prayers when that earnest need is not there. And you tell me the difference. You will know the difference. That earnest need of reflection, when you can come to God, when you can almost just feel His presence coming into your hands, and you stand before Him like you want His blessings to come, and your palms almost get warm because you want this to happen so. How important is it? Are we eager for the church to express the unity that God wants it to express? Are we eager to jump into that? Is it important to us? Do we strive with the Spirit to be like Christ, to display all of these characteristics? And these traits, folks, are needed in the church, because Romans 12 says that as much as it depends upon you, live in peace with all men. As much as it depends upon you lets us know that there are people that we will encounter, both in the church and out, that are just hard to get along with. And so, as much as it depends upon you, live in peace with all men. But again, because again, it reflects what God wants the church to reflect. Not a combative, contentious body, where each part of its members are working against each other. That's what disease does to the body. Some diseases take over the functions of the body, and it actually makes the body work against itself. And that's why it's called a disease. That's why it makes an illness. That's why it causes weakness. As Abraham Lincoln said in his speech, a nation, and reflecting, quoting Scripture, a nation divided against itself, a house divided against itself cannot stand. Christ knew that. He talked about that when He was saying that He has attacked Satan and He's bound him. Satan is not going to throw out Satan, because a house divided against itself cannot stand. This is the house of God. Whether we're in a building or whether we're out in the yard, this is the house of God. This is the body of Christ. And if that body is going to be in unity and harmony, then all of these things that Paul is talking about here, all of the characteristics of Christ's sacrifice, of gentleness, humility, patience, and bearing with others, not having a vengeful spirit, all of these characteristics we are to take on. Why? So that we are eager to protect the peace of the church. Why? Because our walk should be worthy of the immensity of the sacrifice that was given for us. If you can mentally, spiritually stand before the cross of Christ, You know why those disciples, why those close to Christ went out so fervently? Because they were like Ryan. They saw what Christ did. They saw Christ. They saw the punishment that he took. They saw that walk that he took with the cross. They saw him hang upon the cross. They saw him suffer. They heard his words. And they saw his resurrection. They were eyewitnesses. And so they went out without a doubt that what they were doing was important. And what they were doing was because they serve a risen Christ. That is the assuredness that all of us need for us to go out and to live our lives in a manner worthy of our calling. A manner worthy of the immensity of the sacrifice that was given for us. The gift of Christ that was given for us. Walk in a way that reflects the immensity of that sacrifice. Let me pray for you. Father, we come before you this day thanking you for the gift that is ours. And Father, we'll never in our flesh on this side of the cross without being eyewitnesses to all of what Christ went through. We're never going to be able to really grasp the immensity of what was given to us. But we ask that you work within our hearts to help us as close as we can to realize the immensity of that sacrifice. To let us know that there are struggles and sin that we have to overcome. To let us know that the importance that God places upon church and what we do here. And our attendance and our participation and our walk in a way that reflects the importance that he places upon his church. Father, we just pray that your Spirit will continue to reveal that to us as we are drawn closer and closer to you. And we ask this in Christ. Amen.